Please be seated. I'm sure we can sing a song without Pastor Aaron, right? So I just want to thank God for the opportunity to share a word with you and to thank Pastor Jack and the First Lady of the House for giving me another opportunity. Amen. I thought you were going to put your hands for the First Lady. Amen. And to thank all the pastors and women of God and everybody, Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Nancy, and the entire leadership for bringing me. It's an honor to be here. I know Pastor Jack is enjoying the sun in Ghana, and I think they're running up today. It's been a glorious seminar, and they had lots of men of God who were founders of churches coming to listen to them. And some of them have like congregations like 300, 400, 500. And they were like, wow, what great knowledge. So somebody sent me a text message yesterday and said, thank you for letting these guys come around. And we give God the glory. Amen. And of course, I'm here with my beautiful wife. Amen. And I believe that this will be a good time. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Glory to God. Lift up your right hand. Say you are worthy of it all.
Worthy of it all.
Jesus Christ. Receive all the glory. Thank you, Lord.
Visit me.
Holy Ghost.
Fill me.
Teach me the ways of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Let's sing it one more time. You're worthy of it all. Oh, you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, unto you are all things. You deserve the glory. Amen. Bless us, Father. Amen. I'm speaking to you today on something interesting. It's entitled, What Are You Doing With Your 4 Months? What are you doing with your 4 months? I want you to say, I have 4 months. And turn to the neighbor sitting by you and say, what are you doing with your 4 months? Well, I'm sure that they have no idea what I'm talking about. John's chapter number 4, verse number 3-8. John chapter number 4, verse number 3-8. So we're going to do a few scriptures today. I know Pastor Jack loves to teach. So John 4, 3-8. He left Judea. You can show a whole lot of it because we're going to read a lot. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. I wish I could have somebody be reading for me. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures. So, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he must, can we all read that together? And he must needs go through Samaria. It looked as if he had something urgent to do in Samaria. Even though he had left Judea and had to go to Galilee. But we see Jesus saying to the disciples, I got to pass through Samaria. And why is that? So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away. And that's the part I want us to read. Verse number 8, 1, 2, 3, let's read together. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat, steak, and shake. Oh, Charlie's. Okay. Verse number 27. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" And then we jump to 31 to 36. And I promise you, this is the longest read. And after that, we go on. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." I feel hungry reading these verses. "Eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him food to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest?" "Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then come and harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Glory be to God." Now you want to ask the person, what are you doing with your 4 months? So many kingdom believers and Christians today seem to be overwhelmed either with the comfort that we have in Christianity or also with the notoriety that comes with the anointing and these lovely mega churches and the business of church. And people forget that we are living on borrowed time. We are in transit, people. We are in transit. And life on earth here is just a lease that is going to expire. We are on a deadline. And it appears most people in churches today have forgotten about that. Now, believe it or not, your anointing will not matter. Your credentials in education, and I have a lot, will not matter when that deadline is up. I mean, spiritually, we are on a deadline. The disciples said to Jesus, "Oh, come on, we know about that. We still have 4 months to go." They were procrastinating with divinity. And God said, "You are missing it, boys. Your 4 months is actually been long gone. For look into the fields. Lift up your eyes and look. What you are waiting for it to happen has already happened." And I've been saying most people wait on God to do what God waits on them to do. Glory to Jesus. Many of us are just waiting on God to do something, and God is actually waiting on you to do that thing. And that's what is happening now. And I believe after this sermon, I'm going to encourage you and help you to lift up your eyes into the realm of the Spirit and have a look. What you were waiting for those 4 months is actually long gone. And when your time is up, your level of anointing does not matter. This is the United States, so I'm going to not use soccer, I'm going to use basketball. So when they are playing basketball, I think LeBron James, right? Okay. Now, maybe a team is really like behind, maybe 90 to 60, but because they have some time, sometimes they seem to forget that they are behind the score. And when it's about the end of the game, that is when you see them throwing all these long shots, trying to make it, and the countdown is like 5, 4, and then they throw. So why didn't you throw that long ball initially? Why didn't you do that before? Why were you waiting for the countdown to happen before you do that? And once the time is over, and this is what I want you to listen. Once the time is over, whether you are LeBron James, and that's the only name I know, whether you are Michael Jordan, he's ancient, right? And whether you are Shaquille O'Neal, when the time is up, the time is up. Even if you could do a three-pointer with a blindfold, the time is up. Same. When those 4 months are over and the Lord calls you home, your anointing does not matter. Your time is up, buddy. Come. And you will be judged not by the steak you went to eat, but by the work you had to do, which was not related to the physical food. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. And they said, did you bring him food? Who brought him food? What is your food? Have you identified your food? And are you working to finish it? The anointing is for a reason and a season. Many people forget that the anointing has a timeline with it. So, we see people all over in Christianity today, and it's not all about prosperity. It's not all about mega churches. No. The real work is being done in the spirit. So Jesus is talking to this Samaritan woman. And brother Peter, James, and John comes around and like, what are you doing, man? Why are you talking to her? We don't have dealings with these Samaritans. And Jesus says, really? Really? Then immediately they try to shift his focus and says, I think you should get some food to eat. They are just telling him, can you just stop dealing with this woman and just let's go eat. I know one man of God said the earlier church met in the upper room and the modern day church meets in the supper room. Glory to God. And they said to Jesus, we still have 4 months to get our things sorted out, to fix our doctrinal issues, to fix our doctrines in church, and we don't do this, and we don't do this kind of baptism, and we don't like this style of worship, and we don't like this style of preaching. It does not matter. The fields are white, and they are waiting to be harvested. And the church today is still sitting down, just, let's go get food. And I'm going to get food after this, but that's not why I'm talking about it. Let's. You know, I believe the priority of the church, and I love this church, because you can tell the priority of a church by just being with them for one day. They are a people set on Christ. Glory to God. Do not procrastinate with destiny. John's Gospel, chapter number 8, verse number 56. And then I'm going to tell you the story all the way. So, Jesus had just preached a sermon talking about his eternal pre-existence. And then he says to the Jews that before your father Abraham, I am. You know, and they get angry. And they say, you have a demon. You are not 50 years old. And you are telling us that you were there before Abraham? And they wanted to stone him. Come on. Can you imagine being stoned? They wanted to stone him. So, when they took up stones in verse number 59, they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, this was supernatural. He actually went through them and they could not tell it was him. Glory to God. Then the next verse is John 9, verse number 1. And the Bible says that as Jesus passed by, so when he left these people and passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And then he stopped. Now I'm imagining you were running for your life. And there's a mob trying to stone you to death. And you see a man who was blind, not by the mob action, but blind from birth. A 40-year-old man. This is so chronic. This is a long time ago. This has nothing to do with your life being at stake now. You have to run. Keep running, Jesus. Keep running. But all of a sudden, he stops and says, oh, I have to attend to this man. Then the disciples are like, oh, so was it he who sinned? And that's not my focus for today. My focus is he stopped. His life was at stake, but he stopped. He stopped to attend to one of the checklists on his priority or his divine schedule. You know, Jesus said in Isaiah 60, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It's in Luke 4:16 as well. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the meek, to preach deliverance to captives, opening of prison doors to those who are bound. You see, to give light to the Gentiles, to declare unto them the acceptable year of the Lord. Glory to God. To declare to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hey, he says that you will be called what? Trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord. So Jesus knew the reason why he was on earth. He knew, I was telling my wife that right from the age 12, he knew what he was here to do. And that did not include the carpentry job he had on the side. No. So that does not include the job we do on the side. That does not include my being a medical doctor. No. There is something you have to do. There is a reason why you were born. There is a reason why you are here. He said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because. There's a reason for the anointing. And it's not to fill our pockets with money.
That's right.
And sometimes I look at some of the preachers and I'm like, really? You're going to go back to Africa somewhere and preach under a tree for some 2-3 days without light and without some comfortable chairs, and let's see if you are truly cold.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Because in the fulfillment of your destiny, your comfort may be sacrificed. And I'm going to explain that shortly. I'm going to explain that. So this is a man saying, I was anointed because I had to do this. I was here to do that. And even at the peril of his life, he sees a man who fits his agenda, a man who fits his purpose, and he stops. Now, I believe many of us have walked past our purpose day and night, and we never stop. Many of us here might have even mocked at our purpose, ridiculed what you were born to solve. Dr. Mike Murdock said, everybody is an answer to a question. And we might have walked past, I believe, because Jesus could have walked past this man. Like many Christians today walk past the reason for their being saved. Now, I'll be telling you a scripture in Philippians 3. Paul said that, not as though I have already attained, but I press on toward the mark so that I'll be able to attain the reason for which Christ laid hold on me. Jesus laid a hold on you for a reason. There are some of you here, the people you were going to the bar with and to the discos with at night are still there and you are here. And Jesus laid a hold on you for a reason. And you have to make sure that you accomplish that. And stop saying, I still have 4 months And oh, I can just go to town and get something to eat and worry about doctrinal issues. Jesus stopped. Will you stop? The problem is that many of us have not identified that reason. It's not to sit in church on Sunday alone. No. No. And you understand the rapport that happened between Jesus and the disciples when he was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. Don't talk to her. Let's go eat. This woman brought the entire city of Sychar to their knees, and they were all converted. They had Jesus there for 2 days of revival, and the entire city was saved. One woman. The Bible says, if a man gained the whole world and lost his soul, what has he profited? So the value of one soul is even more expensive than the entire value of the world. And this was not just one soul, this was an entire city. And Brother Peter, don't hold it to me when you see me in heaven, but Brother Peter, James, John, and these disciples were telling Jesus, ignore this entire city, let them rot in hell, let's go eat. And sometimes we are here eating, and there are people, and it's good, we have lunch after service with Pastor Rebecca. But there are people walking out, just right outside this door, who are walking into the gallows of hell, and we are eating. Because, like they said, they are Gentiles, we don't have any dealings with them. Wow. But the woman had questions. When Jesus opened up, she said, oh, I think you were a prophet. You know, you Jews said we cannot worship here and we have to come to Jerusalem to pray. And Jesus said, ignore that. Give somebody high five. Tell them, ignore that. I want you to give somebody high five and tell them, ignore that. Listen, they were talking about differences in location, preferences in time, in person, and in place. We have to come to Jerusalem to worship. And I love the Israel and Jerusalem voyages that the church has planned. But God will not listen to you any differently when you are on the soil of Israel than he will listen to you when you are in a Christian persecuted lowly place in Boko Haram somewhere. He will still listen to you. So probably, maybe we can cut down that budget and send it to areas where missionaries really need some help to preach the gospel to people. Isn't it? Glory to God. Hold on to your horses. Just take your time. An entire city had to be saved, and Peter was thinking about steak and mashed potatoes. That was what was going on. They said to Jesus, why are you talking to her? Let's go and eat. But the entire city was saved. Glory to God. And I believe that after today, you are not going to pass by your purpose. You would not, in fact, you will not pass by your purpose because you do not know when your 4 months will be over. There's a divine deadline. And the day it happens, you cannot bargain yourself out of that. Scripture is full. It's just one man who was able to do that. Hezekiah bargained himself when his time was up. And the next 15 years he had, he missed his entire legacy. You understand? It was time for him to die. And when God sent him the notice for his death, he said, you cannot do that. You are an unfaithful God. You should remember what I did for you. God said, okay, take another 15 years. And in that 15 years, he sold his children in slavery. He lost everything in the house of God. He literally handed over the kingdom to the enemies. So was the extension worth it? No. Even when God sent a prophet to tell him that your children are going to be in slavery because of this act, he said, good is the word of the Lord. If my day is filled with goodness and my children with slavery, that's fine. That's what he said. And it's in the Bible. Wow. Now, if this was your father, you really don't want him to have that extra 15 years, right? Good. So, when your time is up, your anointing does not matter. That is why, at the peril of his life, he stopped. Deadlines are set by God. Why? So that we are motivated to do what we have to do. In the verse number 4 of John 9, you know what Jesus said to them? He says that, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh. Somebody say, the night cometh. Can I hear you? The night cometh.
The night cometh.
I can hear you. The night cometh. This is the Son of God. This is the one who can control the seasons and the times. And here we see Jesus has a phobia. Jesus has a phobia of the night. And he's saying, the reason why I am stopping to attend to this man is because a certain time is coming. And when that time cometh, oh, I feel the anointing. Woo, glory to God. When that time cometh, no man, not even me, the Son of God, can work. Wow. I never knew Jesus had a phobia. He was not talking about the chronological day and night. He was talking about the time when your eyelids will shut and cannot open. He was talking about the time when you would love to have evangelized to that brother, but you cannot. He is talking about the time when you would have wished you could have spoken to that niece or nephew or to that granddaughter about Jesus, but you cannot. He is talking about a certain time when even if you had the greatest desire to do it, you would not be able to do it. And for that reason, even if he was going to be stoned to death, he was going to stop and do what he had to do. It's a very good place to begin to think what you have been doing for the last 20 years since you got saved. Did you walk past all the people that God had ordained for you to reach out to because of political reasons, cultural reasons, stake and shake? And I'm happy I spoke to Pastor Rebecca before preaching, because I wouldn't have known. I would have just been using like McDonald's and McDonald's. I know Steak and Shake now. Stop talking to her. Let's go and eat. Can you imagine? This was an apostle. This was Peter. The one that wrote 1 Peter, 2 Peter. That guy. He said, let's go and eat. He was not saved. He was the same guy when a woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick and demon possessed. He said, can you drive her away? Really? Because initially, it was a localized preference with Christianity. It was just the Jews, right? But God had a bigger agenda for the world. Oh, there's a scripture in Micah. He says that, and God shall do miracles beyond the borders of Israel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus says to them, it is for your advantage that I go. Jesus had become a liability. It is for your advantage that I go. If I do not go, the Holy Ghost will not come. So God was breaking the monotony of localized preferences in worship to God and decentralizing worship. That's what Jesus said to the woman, that neither in Jerusalem, nor in Samaria, nor on this mountain, nor on this well do you have to worship. For God is spirit, and they that worship him must do so in two things, in spirit and in truth. Not in a well-lit Orlando, Florida stadium. That does not mean God is there. The church is not the building. The church is the people. And if you have a million people who don't have the Holy Ghost in them, and I have 10 people who have the Holy Ghost in them, tell me where the church is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is looking for people who worship in spirit and in truth. Not in Israel, not in Judea, not in Samaria. The tides had changed. He said, the hour is coming and the time is now. We are in the time of the Spirit, and we need to break away from the dependency on men and move to the dependency of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says that God, who in sundry times and in divers places spoke to our fathers through the prophets, has now, in this time, somebody say now, spoken to us by his Son. God is speaking. We are in the end times. We are in the days that Joel prophesied in Joel 2, 25, 28. He said, and I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Glory to God. Young men shall prophesy, the old men shall dream dreams, even upon the maidservants and men servants will I pour my Spirit. There was an anointing for every age group. And that is the area and the time in which we are now. And you have to arise and take up that anointing and work, because a certain time is coming where you would not be able to work. That is what I'm talking about. Glory to God. What are you doing with your 4 months? Ephesians 5:15 says that, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I'm so happy the Bible was not written in these days, because Jesus would have had a shorter time to come. He would just be here before they finish writing the Bible. The Lord is here. Because if those days were evil, then these days are, wow. When you fulfill your purpose, the glory of God is revealed. Let me show you a scripture, and then I'll try to cap it off, and then we can do something else. Job chapter 7, verse number 20. Job 7, 20. Job chapter 7. Okay, so this is King James. I'll be reading from the New King James, and then I'll just tell you. Don't worry about it. I have seen Job had emotional issues, right? You know, what he went through, God will never do that to anybody again. It was a one-time thing with the devil, and God will never do that. Anybody who preaches to you that God is, you know, just taking you through this. No. He's learned everything he has to learn from allowing a man to suffer and all that. He knows it. So God is not going to do that. And so forget his emotions. I have sinned. Oh, yeah, forget about it. He says, what shall I do unto you? This is Job talking to God. And he had some guts, right? O thou preserver of men. Now the word preserver there means watcher. Like a watchman. Okay? Now he's saying, what have I done to you, O watcher of men? There is somebody watching you. The clock is ticking. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Why are you waiting to throw a Hail Mary pass? Sorry. Why are you waiting to throw a Hail Mary pass when you could have done that earlier during the game? You were saved for a reason. Stop procrastinating with divinity. Because when those 4 months are over, there is no bargaining out of it. Now, I worked in the hospital for a long time, and they were near-death experiences. Now, I don't mean to terrify you by this sermon. I think we should all know that a time is coming when we cannot work. God may have moved on. If you were the basketball coach and the best of players, LeBron James, is not doing what you told him to do in the game, what would you do? Take him out. All right. God is the coach. He has an agenda. God's agenda for life is bigger than the mission statement of any church. I don't care whether they are 20,000, 30,000. No. God's agenda is not about mega churches. God cares for one soul as much as he cares for 20,000. That is why he would leave the 99 and go for one. God's agenda for the church is not to get us to a 20,000 seater capacity. No, no. That is a pastor's ego. That is a pastor's ego. And we moved into this stadium and we are sitting over 20,000. I mean, so? And how many of them are transformed? And how many of them are filled with the Holy Ghost? And how many of them are delivered from troubles? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to build a big church. That is not what he said. No, 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 no. No. There is a watcher of men. You know what happened in the house of Eli? He fell so out of place with God that he went to a 12-year-old boy called Samuel and begged him, a high priest, begging a boy who did not know God to tell him what God told him. Really? He says, don't withhold anything he told you from me. Really? Oh boy. Now try and end now. But I want you to remember that you are on a deadline. I mean, and I don't know, you have to search your spirit and talk to God and know what it is. It may be helping the Red Cross. It may be helping the Salvation Army. It may be telling a brother passing by that, hey, Jesus loves you. It's not over. It may be stopping by a blind man like Jesus did and giving him any help you can. Just that. At the peril of his life, he did it. And not be like the disciples who would want to throw away an entire city because of fish and fries. Paul said, necessity is laid on me. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. What necessity is laid on you? He says, cursed. I will be cursed if I do not do this thing. Jesus said, I have food to eat that you do not know of. My work is to do what the Father has sent me to do. John 17, verse 4, he said, the work you gave me, I have finished it. Wow. You can finish it. You can finish it. He hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. Miles Morris says, Jesus did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. The assignment is finished. The reason why I came is finished. And he did it at 33. At 33 years old, he was able to solve the greatest riddle in heaven and on earth. 33. He solved heaven's greatest riddle at the age of 33. Los tandolos cabrose. Glory to God. And in closing, I will tell you a funny story about three purposeless men. Three men who had no purpose in life. And they came to Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57 to 62. And this is where I'll close. But please, are you walking past your purpose? Are you? Are you? I know people walk past their purpose day and night. And they forget that there is a watcher of men. And he keeps his clock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Okay, Adrian, the time is up, let's go. And you cannot buy yourself out of that. And he would not judge you by the food you went out to eat. You know what Peter was saying? Let's go and eat, Jesus, let's go. And Jesus says, I have to finish this. And he says, why are you even talking to her? Let's go and eat. Hey, did you get him something to eat? He said, no. So why is he saying he's okay? He's so full. When you get to heaven, and I believe at this time you know I was talking about heaven, right? Okay. When you get to heaven, he will not judge you by your credentials. Now, I have a bachelor's of science. I have a medical degree, a surgical degree. I have a master of science in research. I was a scholar to the United Kingdom. I'm a scholar now to University of Louisville. I'm doing a PhD in neuroscience. That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it does not give me anything when I get to heaven. He's not going to say, oh, boy, you did so well. You wrote so many papers. You helped so many people. I mean, he's going to say, what did you do about that woman, about that man who could not see, who passed by you? Glory to God. So three men came to Jesus. Say three men.
Three men.
All right. Purposeless. Three. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Luke 9:57-62. I'm in the process of changing my diction to sound more American, and it's taking a lot of time. Now I'm working hard at it. I could keep spelling things to people in school. What did you say? That I have to spell it for you? What did you say? I repeat it. Okay, I'm just going to spell it for you. Do you have a pen? All right, so I'm working on that. Glory to God. So now it happened. Luke 9:57. So that's 5 and 7, 57. You got it? Okay. And it came to pass as they went in that way, a certain man, this is the first man, said unto Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Wow. Jesus didn't call that man. He, can you come, young man? Yes. It's the first man. I just wanted to mess with you. All right. So he comes. Are you going to be Jesus? I want you to. All right, that's good. You'll be Jesus. So I come to him and say, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus, okay. That's fine. Man number two, come. Keep standing, sir. Let me be Jesus for just for. No. Man number two. So he comes. Keep standing here. To stand by him. Okay. Then Jesus says to this one. So the first one comes to Jesus and says, I will follow you, sir. I will follow you. And Jesus says, wonderful. And the second one, Jesus turns to him. He did not offer it. Jesus goes to him and says, follow me. And then there was a third one, and I don't have any other young man around, so I'm just going to. So there's a third man. And Jesus says, can you join the team? And there are three answers going to surprise you. The first one that said, I will follow you by himself. Jesus said to him, okay, there's no problem in following me. I just want you to know that the foxes have holes, the birds have a nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I don't believe Jesus was sleeping on a tree. No. So what was he talking about? He was saying, in following me to fulfill your divine purpose, it may get to a time you would have to sacrifice your comfort. You may not even have a hole like a fox to lay your head in, or a nest like a bird to lie in. But if you are still committed to the fulfillment of this purpose, then you can follow me. And then the Bible says, he turned around, so turn around, sir, and go sit by mommy and daddy. And he walked away. Wow. Then the second one that Jesus called himself, he says, oh, you know, there is a funeral back home. Somebody died. And so I just want to go and help bury them. Now, can you find that scripture? Jesus says something wonderful there. I think that's the verse number 60. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Come on. Somebody is actually dead, like physically dead. And he says, I want to go home and help. And he says, let the dead. How do the dead bury the dead? Praise God, brother. You were preaching next week Sunday. He was talking about another kind of death. Anyone who, even if saved, and does not seek to fulfill the assignment for which he was saved is as good as dead. On the broad, on the general classification, you could say spiritual death, but I want to go deeper. Because he says, but you go and preach the kingdom. And there's a colon there, right? Linking the two statements that those who were alive going to bury that man were people who were not going about their divine purpose. So let those purposeless guys go and take care of the physically dead man, but you go and do what they were supposed to do and they are not doing. Go and preach the kingdom. Otherwise, you are as good as dead as they are. And the Bible says, he went away sorrowful. And finally, there was a third one. And he said, you know, I just want to go say bye-bye to my family and let them know I'm going on a long journey. And Jesus said, he who has put his hands to the plow cannot look back. Now, I don't know if you are in any of these categories. Some of us put our hands to the plow already and we look back. Some of us have looked in the face of life's greatest mentor, Jesus Christ, and said, you know, I would rather hang out with the dead. Some of us have looked him right in the face. I remember in the Gospels, a rich young man came to him and said, I want to follow you. He said, go do this, do the commandments. I've done everything. So that guy was a church guy. He did everything. And then he says, there is still one thing that you lack. This guy may be better than most people. He stood before Jesus and Jesus said, there is only one thing, just one. I'm sure I have 200 things wrong with me when I stand before him. I don't know if anybody here has just one thing. You think you're going to just have one problem when you stand before Jesus. Just lift up your hands and let's drop the microphone for you and have you pray over all of us now. Glory to God. Jesus said, you have done well. And when you read the Gospels, Jesus loved him because he said, you have done everything, but there's just one thing. And that is why you can never get to the Father by your own deeds. I mean, there will still be that one thing you missed. So just do it through Jesus. And he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he says, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea what I have. I mean, I've given to the poor, but everything. I own estates. I own an aircraft line. He says, sell everything. Give it to the poor. And then you would have inheritance in heaven, and then you come and follow me. So, you see, people miss it. His deeds that Jesus said, go drop off everything, was to give him a special place in heaven. But that did not stop him from following him. He said, and then just come and follow me. But he just squashed that opportunity to be with life's greatest mentor because of a platinum Discover credit card. And this is the time I want to pray with you. Are you walking past your purpose? He stopped at the peril of his life. Are you still waiting for 4 months, which according to Jesus is almost over? Have you forgotten that there is a timeline for your life here? That you will not be judged by your credentials on earth, but by doing the work of him that sent you? And don't forget that even the Son of God had a phobia that made him decide to work. Please rise to your feet. Bow down your head. And reflect about yourself. Did you walk past your purpose? Did you walk past the reason why God made you? And I want you to begin to pray. And I want you to begin to ask God even for forgiveness. I want you to begin to ask God to forgive you for walking past that blind man. Yours may not have been a blind man. Yours may have been, beg your pardon, something else. But did you walk past it? Just pray to him now. Pray to him now. Glory to God. The clock is ticking. We are on the deadline. I want you to pray that God, if you are not too sure about what to do in these 4 months, and these are not clear, just ordinary 4 months, this is a spiritual timeline, that God will show you what you need to do in these 4 months. And I want you to pray that prayer. It may be just giving somebody a hug and telling him Jesus loves you. And still you pass by. So I want you to pray to God now and ask him to show you what to do in these 4 months. There are people walking straight into the arms of hell, and some of them are even your family members. But because of perhaps a culture of indifference, oh, I mean, I cannot do this, we just watch even the people we are supposed to love go straight into hell. And you know clearly that he's not on a good path. Why don't you take him out to lunch and tell him something in a nice way? I want you to pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. You cannot miss your 4 months. You need to do something. If the time is up, the time is up. Why sit we here till we die? Let's go. That's what they said. This is the time. You need to go. You need to go. You need to go. I'm sure we've passed by people who died the next week and went to hell, and we still did not open our mouth to say anything about Jesus. Precious soul. Precious soul. I'm very sure that I've passed by somebody who was destined for eternal, not temporary. Eternal damnation, and I still did not say a word. Come on. Lift it up, Pastor. And I just want to sing one song, and I'll pray with you and release into you that power of God, the anointing of God, and he will help you.